The reading today is Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. It's on page 969 of the Church Bibles. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Really warm welcome if you're here for Larry's baptism. Really warm welcome if you're always here as well. We're going to do what we always do on a Sunday morning at the Bridge Church. We're going to look at a passage from the Bible, an eyewitness account of Jesus' life. 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived a life perfectly, died, rose again, and he's utterly transformed human history. So that's why we look at it. We believe that those events that happened in the past profoundly shape everything that we do right now. But before we dive into the passage, here's a question to get your brain thinking. I bet you didn't think you're going to have to think in church. Good grief. But here's the question. It's on the screen. How would you describe a Christian? How would you describe a Christian? What are the words, adjectives would you use to describe someone who is a follower of Jesus? I'm going to let you talk to one another. Go. Words to describe a Christian. Go. Talk to one another. I dare you. 2 minutes to think about it. Stops. I wonder what you said. Maybe positive words, maybe negative words. Maybe you can carry on those conversations after the service. From our passage today, here's two words that would describe a Christian: salty and shiny. Salty and shiny. Jesus says his followers, his people, are to be salt and light in the world. Salty and shiny. So have a look around. If it's not too awkward for you, you're in a room full of salty and shiny people. And that needs some explaining, doesn't it? Because if you say someone's salty in our modern culture, it means a negative thing. But here's a bit of a headline. This is what the passage is all about. These verses are about how Jesus' followers are distinct and different to the world around them. So they're like you, but they're not like you. There's something distinct and different about followers of Jesus. So Johnny and Lewis will raise a Larry in a salty and shiny way. The teenager in school will interact with others in a distinct and different way. The retiree will spend their golden years shining. So let's have a look at our passage to understand what that means. Firstly, as we read these words, we need to remember who you are. Remember who you are, for we have a secure identity. Look down, if you have it open in front of you, look down at verses 13 and 14. Jesus says to his disciples and to the crowds listening in, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, I know this is very obvious, but notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say, you must be the salt of the earth. He doesn't say, you must be the light of the world. For that would totally change these verses, wouldn't they? It would turn them into a command. Something that must be done. They would have to perform, reach a certain standard to be considered salty or bright. It's a silly example, I know, but imagine if Johnny or Lewis said to Larry, you must do this in order to be our daughter. Now, aside from the fact she's very wee and she can't understand those words, but if she did understand those words, it would profoundly impact her little life. She'd be insecure, right? Scared. Always seeking to perform, to hit a standard in order to be good enough and accepted by her parents, in order to be called their daughter. Why is a Larry loved and accepted by Johnny and Lewis? Is it because she pays the rent? Is it because she does the chores? Is she able to look after herself? What does she bring to the table? How has she earned her identity as their daughter? Unless I'm painfully ill-informed, Larry can't do any of those things. Larry is loved and accepted because of her relationship, not her performance. All she brings to the party is herself and her wonderful chubby cheeks. People often think this about Christianity, don't they? They think it's about performance. Perform in order to be accepted by God. Do good things. Hit a certain moral standard. Avoid doing anything bad. Then, because you've done those good things, you can be accepted by God because of your performance. Friends, that is a profound misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are loved and accepted by God, not because of our performance, but because of our relationship to the Lord Jesus, because of his performance. But more on that later. The Christian faith is not about what we can do for God, but what about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Our identity is secure. We're his. We don't have to be salty or light for God to love us. Because he loves us, that is what we are. We are salt and light. We do lots of things at church on a Sunday. We sing, we pray, we read. And as we do each of those things, we hear God say to us, remember who you are. Remember who you are. That's the famous line from the cloud Mufasa in The Lion King, isn't it? Remember who you are. Simba, at this point in the movie, the son of Mufasa, has been through the mill. He's faced opposition from Scar and the hyenas. He's been stubborn and he's been stupid. He's been driven away from his home and he's forgotten who he is. Friends, there's time you come into church on a Sunday morning and we are Simba, aren't we? We're battered, we're bruised, we're broken, we're alone. We've faced opposition in school, in work, in life. We live in a world where we're constantly under pressure to perform, to look the part in order to be accepted. And that can leave you feeling absolutely battered. And on Sunday mornings, we take time to remember who we are, to remember whose we are. It's like a wee oasis, a rest. We remember we belong to the Lord, we're safe and we're secure, and we remember who our great God is. And then as we remember who we are, we're then encouraged to live in light of that identity in the world. The secure identity that we have in Jesus leads us to live a different, a distinct and different life. So this week, as we head out those doors this week, we are to remember that we are salt and light because of our relationship to Jesus. So let's think about what that means. What does it mean to be salt and light? What does it mean to be salt and light? I've already said it, haven't I? These images about being distinct and different from the world around them. If you're here and you're a friend of Johnny Lewis, you've probably noticed that there is something distinct and different about them. They're like you, but there is something different about them. There should always be a difference about a Christian. In the way they speak, in the way they act, in the way they spend their money, in the way they raise their kids, in everything, they are to be distinct and different, for they are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. You are the light of the world. In summary, Christians serve. They serve by having a positive influence in the world, and they serve by having a preservative influence in the world. First, let's think about that, a positive influence in the world. Salt, of course, is used as a seasoning. I'm constantly told I put too much salt in things. But you add salt to things in order to make it taste better, to draw out the goodness of the food. Without salt, a dish is bland. We have teenagers come to our house for a youth Bible study, which is happening tonight. And naturally, because teenagers are there, we have snacks for them. And one particular week, they came along and we had made a bowl of roasted potatoes. And it was being handed round. And they just think this is normal. You know, you go to a Northern Irish person's house and you're just going to be given potatoes naturally. But what they did not realize, we're running a wee experiment. One bowl of potatoes had salt and one did not. I was really interested to notice them say, this bowl's better. Didn't know why, but it's because there was salt in the bowl. The unsalted bowl was good. It was obviously still demolished, but they acknowledged this other one's better. It was inhaled. So a Christian is someone who draws out the goodness in the world. Look, this is me being descriptive, not prescriptive. This is not something you have to do. This is something that you are if you're a Christian. A Christian draws out and encourages what's best in the community. A Christian seeks to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. They encourage the good things in their friendship groups, in their work, in their sports teams. A Christian makes a good place a better place. Light, I think, carries the same idea of being a positive influence. Stating the obvious, without light, you can't see anything. It's hard to enjoy anything at all without light. Light helps us see what is good in the world. We all know this, don't we? In a world where often it's hard to see anything good, a follower of Jesus is someone who shines, points and directs people to the goodness that there is in this world, to the fun and the friendship there is, the taste of food and drink, the beauty of creation. A follower of Jesus shines in a world where people have lost their vision. I think we kids are a brilliant illustration of this. They have this sense of joy and wonder, and they're constantly directing you to good things. They find a book that they like, and they constantly bring it to you because they love it. Look at this. This is my favorite book. Let's read it again. They find a good gift, and they're constantly bringing it to your attention. They're like wee lights. They point to the good gifts that they've been given. How good is this? A Christian is constantly to be remembering that they've been given so many good gifts and pointing to others, look at this. How good is this world? How kind is God that he has made a world filled with things like potatoes and coffee and friends? A Christian is to be a positive influence in this world, serving the world by being a positive influence. But notice with me, this isn't pumping your own tires or inflating your heads. Look at verse 16. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think this tells you that as a Christian seeks to be a positive influence in the world, they're meant to be like the moon. The moon doesn't generate its own light. It reflects the sun's light. The Christian reflects God's light, not their own, which means God receives the glory, not them. So countercultural, right? Counter to my human nature, whenever I do a good thing, I immediately want recognition. I immediately want recognition whenever I do something good. Christians are to do good so that God will be known as a good God. We pray, don't we, as Larry grows up, that she'll see in her mum and dad how they positively serve their community. We pray that Larry will grow up in a church family who, despite being from lots of different backgrounds and places, ages and stages, they are a positive influence in their community. That what unites them is greater than anything that divides them. Christians are to be a positive influence, and they're also to serve by being a preservative influence. So you read, you are the salt of the earth. In the ancient world, when Jesus was speaking, salt had different uses, not just seasoning. So before fridges, they were used to stop meat from going bad, to slow the rot of meat. So salt would be rubbed into meat to stop it from going bad. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We know this, of course, don't we? That light is a deterrent for people committing crimes. It's easy to conceal evil things in the dark. A small example of this is in our community of Pomperani and Pentwin, where there's no light. Behind this school, there's a road. There's no light, and that's where fly tipping happens. People just dump things and drive off because there's no light. They can't be seen. Jesus says to his followers, you're to be people who stop the rot and expose the darkness. Be in such close proximity and contact with the world to help preserve it. Be shining in the midst of darkness. Whenever you think about that, though, it's actually quite an offensive picture. Jesus is saying that the world that we inhabit is decaying and rotting. He's saying that this is a dark place. Whilst it may be offensive, we look at our world and we see that it's an accurate diagnosis. Perhaps we might hope, if we're Christians here, we might hope that Jesus would tell his followers to withdraw from the darkness, get into a holy huddle, one big light bulb. Yet Jesus tells his followers, get stuck in. Be a positive influence, be a preservative influence in this world. What does that look like then? I think here's one way to think about it, and we'll use Lois as a wee example. Lois, I think we all know this, she is a dentist. she is a dentist. So whenever she is looking at people's teeth, she'll often have, has this big, massive, pointy light. So she shines that light into the dark cavern of mouths everywhere. And as she shines the light into the darkness, it reveals problems, plaque, decaying teeth, not flossing, oh dear. But she shines that light into the darkness so that she can offer a solution, a crown, braces, flossing, mouthwash, whatever it may be. You may be offended to hear you have plaque and you have problems, but the offense that is caused is restorative. We Christians are to be people who, by the way we live, speak and act and point out the decay in this world, the darkness in this world, and then point people to the solution, the Lord Jesus. Say, this is not right. Here's how Jesus solves that problem. But just to encourage you, this is not something that you do alone. We do it together. We do it together. This is really good news if you're sitting there and you're feeling not very salty or not very shiny this morning. There's a corporate aspect to being salt and light. You don't have to do this alone. You look down and Jesus says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. A town, of course, is a gathering of lots of people. So just by belonging to a church, by being here this morning, you are salt and light. We do this together, not alone. For lone rangers are dead rangers. By being a church in this community, we are saying that God very much cares for this place and he wants to make a difference here. For 2,000 years, the church has been a force for good in this world. So I wonder how you're feeling right now. I wonder what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, be a positive influence and a preservative influence. Dave, have you been in my school recently? Have you been in my place of work? Have you seen my family? Dave, I've just had 3 hours sleep because of my baby. You try being a positive influence after that, pal. Perhaps you're sitting here and you're thinking, I don't know any Christian or any church who lives up to this. If you are thinking any of these things, I think Jesus addresses it in this passage. Let's read what he says. He says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. God's people, whilst we should be positive and preservative, we so often are like everyone else, aren't we? We lose our saltiness. We hide our light. We're corrupted by the same things of money, sex, and power. We'd so often rather be comfortable than compassionate. What can transform us? What can make us people who want to serve this world? How can we live like this? Friends, we remember what the Lord Jesus has done. We remember what Jesus has done. This is where we finish this morning. If you have a Bible, flick forward to Matthew chapter 20. It will be on the screen. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. So Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, to his followers, and they're arguing about their position. They want to be served. They want an easy life. They want a comfortable life. They want things their own way. And Jesus says to them, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, that's Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How can we serve this world? How can we be a positive and preservative influence? We remember that we were served first. This Christmas is past, isn't it? Remember, the King of the universe, born in a manger. The creator of all things, become a creature. The master of all, become a servant of all. The one who hung the stars in space, hung on a cross. My friends, as we seek to live this out, we look out the window, don't we, and we despair, but we take one look in the mirror and remind ourselves that we were so dark and so decaying and so lost. And we remember that the Lord Jesus was salt and light to us. He served us by saving us. He came into closest contact with us. The things that we don't want anyone to know about, the sin that makes us shudder, he came so close. He shone his light in the darkest area of our lives. Our moral failure and our darkness stands against us as death. And rather than say, friend, work hard, do better, perform, he says, I'm here to serve you. See that sorrow, that sin, that shame? Let me take it. Let me take it. You can't carry it. I'll bear it. I've come to serve you. I've come to save you. Friends, this morning, the only way we can possibly live like this is if we remember the great power of the cross. He forgave you. He changed you. He transformed you. Because you can be so secure in that identity, go out and be who God's called you to be. Be salty, be shiny for his glory. Let me pray.